Welcome back to the Cambridge Connection Credit Show. And joining us today is our good friend Gordon Oliver, who's doing remote. So we'll take an advantage and apologize up front if anything goes bad, but it looks like it's going to go okay. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Dan. Thanks for having me, and thanks for your patience with my remote activity. And it's funny, if we recall the news like 20 years ago, if anything went wrong on set, everybody would get all crazy and panicky. And now it's like the news, you know, they kind of roll with it, go with it. So that's what I'm doing today.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I didn't run a and your father's doing better or not?
He is. Yeah, he's coming along, man. He's okay. Yeah, he had a pretty bad lung infection, and he's 82, so his recovery is very slow.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I'm 78. It took me a long time to recover from a simple knee surgery.
Yeah.
So I didn't bother you, but I wanted, and I'm not trying to ambush you. I just wanted to tell you about an experience I had this past week that just kind of blew me away. And I don't know whether you know anything about what I'm about to tell you. And if you do, wonderful. If you don't, maybe you'll look into it. I get, like most people, I get bombarded with emails. Are you in trouble? Do you need money? We are pre-qualified for up to $43,000, yada, yada, yada. I get them every day, and I get multiples a day. And I just checked my FICO score, and I'm pretty good, almost 800. Anyway, so I don't know why I'm getting them, but I get them. So I take a moment every once in a while just to call one and see what's going on. And this one just blew me away. I mean, I found myself saying, now, wait a minute, I want to make sure I understand what you're telling me because I don't want to get it wrong. This was an offer saying that I had been pre-qualified for $48,000 worth of credit loan. And which you can use to pay off credit card or whatever. So I said, okay, somebody's going to give me, tell me that I'm pre-qualified for $48,000. And I knew what my, just had my, I get my credit score updated every month. So I know what my credit score was, and I would qualify for whatever the most attractive rate. But anyway, I call them. And I start talking to them, and I said, so now, how does this work? And he said, well, the way this works, we will look at your portfolio of loans, and we will negotiate on your behalf a reduction in the loan amount outstanding, which would help you reduce your payment. And then you would have an additional, a smaller payment than what you have now on your entire loan. And I said, okay, how much is the payment on a monthly basis going to be? And they said, about $1,000 a month. And I said, so that's $12,000 a year. And I said, and how long do I pay it? And it's 30 months. I said, so I've got a $40,000 credit card. You're going to pay off 40% of it. So what they told me to get it renegotiated by the with the banks, and I'm going to take care of the 60% in the $1,000 a month. Well, not quite that way. You have to pay a monthly payment on the reduced amount of the outstanding loan plus our fee of $1,000 a month for 30 months. And I said, who's the fee going to? The lawyer. So I've got a $40,000 loan, $40,000 debit. You're going to negotiate $16,000 of it away. You want me to pay the balance and pay you, your lawyer, $1,000 a month for 28 months. Mm. Yeah. So I'm paying you $28,000. I said, what's going to happen to my credit score? Well, it'll go down. So I said, wait a minute, I'm paying $28,000 in legal fees, plus I'm paying the 60% that the balance is paid off over the next 4 years. Yes, and probably about 3 years in, after you've paid us our fee, your credit score will probably go up. I've never heard a thing like this before, that I would be paying a lawyer $28,000 on a $40,000 debt for his fee. Have you mm-hmm. ever heard anything like this?
So let me just clarify one thing real quick. When you were paying the $1,000, you said for 28 or 38 months?
28 months. $28,000 was the fee.
And what did they want you to pay as a monthly payment to the $48,000?
Well, it wouldn't be $48,000. It would be 60% of $48,000, which would be the new negotiated balance that I would owe the credit companies. And
okay.
they said I should be able to pay that off in 4 to 5 years. They never gave me an exact payment.
Okay, so this sounds like a very pseudo debt settlement. And let me take the opportunity for your listeners and your viewers, your base, to explain debt settlement at its core and what the problems are with it. Okay?
Okay, sure.
And our organization, our CEO, Christopher Vialli, and our Director of Compliance, Martin Lynch, they are leaders in trade associations for the nonprofit credit counseling space. They work with regulators. They work with creditors. And debt settlement has some different looks, but let's come from the advertising side. When you hear advertisements or an email comes in stating that you can pay less than what you owe your creditors, that right there is a red flag. It's not that it's not possible. It's extremely possible. But number one, you can do that on your own. And I'll explain that in a minute. But when companies do it for you and the advertisements say that secret that your creditors don't want you to know that you can pay them less than you owe them, right then and there, everything we do about being together on your show is about financial wellness. And when you stop paying creditors what you owe them in your contract, it's going to hurt you one way or the other. Okay. So regular settlement companies, how they work is they tell you, the consumer, this is a little bit different than what was proposed to you. And it doesn't surprise me that there's a different look to it with a different fee structure, because there's about 7 states that don't allow debt settlement anymore, because a lot of the settlement companies were charging fees up front, not getting results. Now they have to get results first and then fees last in generality, so that they can at least prove that they did something. So let me backtrack again. Settlement. They tell you to stop paying your bills, so immediately you stop making a payment. That's why I asked how much you would be paying. And if they're not paying the bill off with a loan, your bill has to typically go behind several months before it can be negotiated at a 60% or 50% or 50 cents on the dollar, as we say. So you'd automatically have to start going behind. So in the structure you gave, you pay $1,000, it doesn't go to your bills. You're going to pay a renegotiated fee to the balance that's 60%. So essentially, that bill will go behind. They'll let it go behind a couple months. You sign some documentation that says they have the ability to negotiate. They typically send cease and desist letters to the creditors so they can't contact you, Dan. So they're dealing directly with the firm. And in that time frame, a lot of people don't really know what's going on. The structure that you gave sounds a little bit different, but the normal one is they tell you not to pay your bills. They ask you to deposit money into a trust account, so it builds up money for negotiation later. They send the cease and desist letters to the creditors so they can't contact the client. So you never hear from the creditor again. You go behind typically 6 months. When you go behind on the bill is the threshold where the balance was is what calls is what's called gets charged off by the bank. Basically, they write it off as bad debt, and it either goes to a collection agency or in-house collections to then collect with you. Again, cease and desist letters go out, and the collection agency can't contact you. So you're sending money to an account every month for negotiation money. It typically, the cycle is about 24 months where creditors start trying to sue or garnish wages. Then the company that you're contracted will step in with the money that you put into an account and then negotiate settlements, which is 30, 40, 50 cents in the dollar. And for your listeners, the biggest problems with this structure and this product, 24 months of not paying your bills, your FICO score is as low as it will be. For 7 years, that derogatory activity of not paying your bills will be shown up when you apply for anything. So even if you get approved, you're going to deal with higher interest rates until you can get your FICO score back up to reality. And then most importantly, after the fees, and you indicated they're very hefty, after you pay the fees, anything over 600 that gets settled is a 1099 tax event. So you're going to get an income tax bill that you have to claim on your taxes for losses. So that's another expense that you're going to have. So when you add interest and late fees and over the limit, the balance got higher than when you started with these companies. And it really is a path to a bad situation, bad credit, lots of fees, and lots of trouble. So it's really not a great step unless a person absolutely has to do it. The problem in this economy, and I know I've said a lot, so I'm going to stop for a minute. Problem in this economy is people are desperate and they'll do desperate things.
Yeah, and I suspect that things are going to get a little more desperate, and more and more people are running out of savings. They've emptied their retirement account and their bank account just to try and stay above water, and when that runs dry, they're up the creek without a paddle, and so th they become more susceptible to these questionable practices deals. So,
The internet is a scary place when your information's out there. And I'm going to give you a quick example. The FTX scandal, the cryptocurrency platform, when they went upside down and you had an account with them, once the attorneys start taking over the account, they're talking through bankruptcy and the legal matters, all kinds of hackers and all kinds of bad people were sending all kinds of information with the promise that a person that's money is locked up or lost with this FTX situation. Now they're capitalizing on it by pretending they're the attorneys. They're someone that's going to help them recover their cryptocurrency shares that were held in the platform. So this is the problem. Anything that's advertised electronically, any robocalls that you get through your phone that you didn't initiate, anything that you didn't get authentic information from your creditor. What I mean by that, even if I know in my email it's from my creditor, I will go to my credit card or my loan account or my insurance agency, whatever creditor it is, and go to my account info, call their number and ask them, did you reach out to me? Because I got this offer that said I could do X, Y, and Z. And they'll say, no, we never reached out to you. And that then saves me from making a mistake, right? So never respond to these advertisements that come through email and on the internet. It's bad, bad news.
well, we blew through that segment in a hurry. We're going to pause here for a moment, and we'll be back. But before we go, how can our listeners get a hold of you, Gordon?
Well, first of all, I'm so happy the Dan Perkins Network, Media Network, this takes the time to allow us to be on this show. And we have a landing page that's dedicated. It's cambridgecredit.org/dperkinsmedia. Or you can call 1-855-435-2066. If you want to talk to a certified counselor and you're struggling with debt problems, the example that Dan gave is a perfect example. When people are on that tipping point and they're struggling and they get a solicitation, a lot of times mistakes are made because of desperation. Our counselors are certified and available to give you a free counseling session to help you figure out what your options are.
Okay, we'll be right back with Gordon Oliver after these messages. Okay, that was a good segment. I was debating whether I should call you, but I didn't really, I didn't want to bother you, but it was something that I had never seen before.
Crazy.
That I thought was worthy enough to, I mean, $28,000 for legal fees.
Dan, if you just go ahead when you have time, and we can talk about credit report pair maybe even next week. If you have time, just Google CFPB judgment Lexington Law.
CFPB
judgment Lexington Law.
Okay, I'll do that.
2.7 billion for a credit repair agency that's been in business for 20 years.
2.7 billion what?
Judgment.
Oh, a judgment against them.
Yep.
By the court.
Yep.
Wow. Unbelievable.
And that's because the credit repair industry is just like that settlement industry. They're profiteers. And I, again, you know philosophically where I come from. I don't care that companies make money for doing what they do, but I do care when it is harmful. And regulators, again, the lobbying on the debt settlement side is just insane, which is why they stay in business. But it's, essentially what they do is nothing but harmful to people.
Okay, we're going to have segment two. And we're going to have something also new and different to talk to you about.
Good.
Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to the Credit Connection with Gordon Oliver. And we put him to test in the first segment. We're going to try it again. This is a personal issue with me. So I'm telling you up front, this happened to me also this week. And I'm looking for free advice. What should I do? I, out of the clear blue sky, I received an envelope from a credit company, and I'm going to pull it out here so I can tell you who it is. I'm taking it out of the envelope, so, and this is from Credit Control. Now, Credit Control is saying that Two cars ago, 5 years ago, that when I turned the car in on a lease, I still owed them $424. Now, one, the request didn't come from the credit company, which was Nissan Motor Lease, which was the bank for the lease payment. It didn't come from them. It came from this Credit Control. And why would it come out of the clear blue sky 5 years after the car was turned in? And is there a statute of limitations?
Excellent question. So number one, we were very careful about not giving legal advice because we're not attorneys. So statute of limitations, you kind of have to look at the state laws with regard to how that works. And people, and again, this is a warning. This from last segment, this is all about where did the solicitation come from? So first things first, for your listeners, for advice, the first thing that I would say to you or ask you is, are you pulling your credit reports to see the activity that shows up on your credit report? There's a site called annualcreditreport.com, and you can go to that site and pull Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax, which are the three credit reporting bureaus.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that came from the COVID experiment is that now you can pull your credit reports on a weekly basis if you want to at no cost. Now, just a quick asterisk. If you want your FICO score from those reports, they typically charge like $5 each report to do that, but you really don't need it because there's plenty of things out there. Even your creditors offer opportunities. Even the banks right now are offering opportunities.
I get Bank of America gives me unlimited opportunities to get my FICO score on a monthly basis or
exactly
more often than that, at no fee. No fee.
Exactly. So you don't have to pay the fee at annualcreditreport.com.
Right.
That's the government approved website for you. They work with the credit bureau so you can pull your credit report. So number one, is it showing on your credit? That's the first thing. And if you were monitoring things, and I'm not suggesting you're not, this is the advice for listeners. If you never monitored your credit reports, there's no time to then now to get started, especially it used to be you could only pull it once a year for each credit report. But now, because you can do that, you pull them, take a look at what's on them and review them for accuracy, for the balances that you owe. And the first thing, if I get an envelope like that, I would be pulling my credit reports to see is it showing up. Because here's the problem. This is like scam 101. There's data available out there, and like warranty companies get these lists of leases and previous information. And the first question that you have to ask in this scenario, Dan, is, and you asked it to me when you positioned the situation here, why didn't the credit agency that you had the bill with reach out to you and say, you have a balance, Dan?
Yeah.
So that's the first red flag, because they would not want to sell this to a collection agency to pay them or get paid 30 cents on the dollar for a $400 payment when they would just reach out to you to collect it, because it's kind of small and they'd probably give it 3, 4, or 5 months before they send it to collections. So you never got it. Number two, it's two cars ago. So a lot of times, one of the things I'll ask if listeners can be on the same wavelength with me is, have you ever received a piece of mail for someone that used to live at the house that's for something completely old that doesn't make any sense that you would get it? As an example, I don't live with my dad anymore. I have residents elsewhere. And he'll get mail from things that were from 15 years ago, because these companies, these marketers, they buy lists of information and they don't necessarily care whether it's accurate or not. They're looking for a percentage of these lists that are very cheap. It's cheap data for them to solicit information and try to get people to act on things. So
I just looked at the paper again. Excuse me for interrupting.
Yeah.
It was 7 years ago.
Okay. Again, statute of limitations a lot of times with these things. And this is a tip for some of the listeners. If they have had collection accounts and they passed the statute of limitations, collection activity stopped, you haven't heard anything, you pull a credit report, it's not on there. And then lo and behold, you get a phone call or a letter from a collection agency trying to collect on the debt. You have to be very careful, because when you recognize a debt, the possibility exists that you could reinstate that bill to be collected on. So if you've had that kind of thing in the past, never respond to solicitations. If it's not on your credit report and it's not something that makes any sense whatsoever, there's a lot of companies that just try to buy old debt, try to collect on it, and trick consumers into making mistakes. And if for your listeners, if you just Google like zombie debt, it's called zombie debt, that'll give people some information on how to look at that.
This is a statement. The company sent me this statement, which is from Nissan Motors Acceptance. And in the middle of the statement says, end of lease liability statement. So the lease was terminated 4 years ago, started 7 years ago, and this was the end of lease liability statement. What I'm asking, what I wanted to say to you was, or ask you, why would this credit control, which doesn't appear to be anywhere related to Nissan Auto Finance, why are they coming after me? Is it possible that Nissan sold that end of loan, or that what they believe is the end of loan payment or lease payment, to the credit company? Or how would this credit company get a copy of the statement from Nissan Motor Acceptance Corporation?
So it could be something that they manufactured from data that said that you had a lease to two cars ago, 7 years ago, right? It could be data that they found and they're making this up. I want to give you, and I think, you know, I would love to follow this up with you with just some information next week so we can revisit this situation. But I want to tell a story that is very similar to this. It's just a little bit different. I want to talk about the envelope piece and the representation piece. So a friend of mine's daughter had graduated from college and 6 months had gone by, and she got into she was getting ready to get into repayment because with federal loans you get a 6 months grace period when you get out of college to be able to start making payments. Gives you a chance to get a job, gives you a chance to get online, et cetera. So in she worked for an investment firm. So she got a piece of mail that had the Department of Education logo on the front and on the letter, so it looked completely authentic. She called the number that was on the letter, and it ended up, you know, they represented themselves as the Federal Loan Repayment Center. She ended up paying $900 for document production. She got transferred to another company that consolidated her loans and made fictitious representations of how big her family was, so she would have a really low payment on her repayment plan. Come to find out, she was talking to her father. He reached out to me. It was a scam company that took the $900, sent her to a company they shouldn't have consolidated, and we had to work with the Department of Education and one of the loan servicers to fix what they did and get her on a repayment program with the accurate information. So that the reason that it happened be was because it looked authentic. So I want to talk back to your situation. I had said when you get a letter or get an email or something like that, go to your account, and in this case, it would be Nissan if you wanted to, and call them and ask them why. Because the worst thing that you could do is call them and find out if there's anything that you owed on that lease. But you also have to be careful because you don't want to open something up that could have passed that statute of limitations, right? So for next week, I'm gonna pull together some tips on this that I want to just make sure are concise. And again, I don't want to get into legal advice because that's where it gets tricky, and we don't give legal advice, but this could very easily be a legal matter. And if we talk about statute of limitations, that's legal. So I want to be careful with that. But the exactly what their purpose of doing this is on the marketing standpoint is to make you panic. What? I owed money? Is this reflecting on my credit? Right? So that's why I said the first thing you do is pull the credit reports, see if there's anything on there. If there's not anything on there, it's been 7 years, I wouldn't do a thing with it.
Okay. We got about a couple minutes left. I want to go to the news this week that credit card debt crossed $1 trillion. And I don't think it's done. I don't think it's done.
Well, I'm not laughing. You know, I give presentations to organizations that want to put financial wellness components in, and 1.3 trillion was the number in December. I think we spent 19 billion was the increase in credit card debt. So now it's 1.13 trillion actually. And yes, we're not done. The reason there was a spike is because of the holidays, like always. But nothing's changed in the economy. Everything still costs more. People have to spend more. They don't necessarily make more. So this is where we're at. And this is where one of the main things that a consumer can do, and they can do this on their own. And this is what we do in our free counseling sessions, is we ask consumers what's going on, why are you struggling, what are the problems? And then the very first thing that we do is create a spending plan, which is also known as a budget, to look at the income and the expenses to find out why the family is struggling. We'll make recommendations of things that look out of line. So for a family of four, if you're spending way too much on groceries, that's something we have to talk about and try to make cuts. Entertainment, things that are things that can be cut down when people are in struggling times. Sometimes it just takes a review of knowing what people are spending to help them, give them guidance on how to kind of tighten things up.
Terrific. We're almost out of time, but I want to set up a question for next week so that you'll have some time to look at it and build your knowledge base.
Good.
I live in a retirement community, upscale, and what I'm hearing in talking with some of the residents is that their children clearly don't understand the needs of their parents and why they should be in a place like this. I don't want to talk about buying long-term care insurance. I want to talk about how we can foster better communications between parents and children about various costs when people retire and age. And I'd love to have a conversation with you about some tips that we can help educate young people about what parents and grandparents might be going through and
100%. Yes. Because as you know, we do reverse mortgage counseling. And a lot of times, the family doesn't understand, right? They don't understand why a person 62 or older is trying to pull equity out of their home, right? So yes, I 100% love to talk about this.
Okay, so let's put that on the agenda for next week.
You got it.
And we'll have time for other things. So we've been speaking with Gordon Oliver from the Cambridge Credit Corporation and giving us great advice on how to deal with swindlers. And thank you for joining us today. And how can people follow you again?
855-435-2066, or they can go to the page designed for Dan Perkins Media followers. It's cambridgecredit.org/dperkinsmedia.
Super. Thank you, sir. Have a great week.
Thank you, Dan. Pleasure.
And good luck with your dad, too.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
And we'll be right back. So, were you pleased?
I love off the cuff stuff.
Well,
Love it. Fun.
I thought it's been a while since I've talked about me, and I was just so angry at this thing that came in the mail about a car lease that was
It's
7 years
ridiculous.
ago.
Ridiculous.
And I didn't, and the letter didn't come from Nissan. It came from this credit control operation. So
Can you tell me the exact name?
the exact name is Credit Control LLC, 8001 Woodland Center Boulevard, Suite 200, Tampa, Florida.
Yeah. So they have an office in Missouri. Yeah, I'm going to do some research on these guys.
Okay. So I mean, I've always been, when I terminate a lease, I always make it clear that I want to make sure that everything's taken care of and that the lease is paid off when we get the money for the new car. So I don't know whether it's right or wrong, but I usually get 36-month car leases, but I never take it to 36 months. I will, trade it 34, 35 months,
Yep.
and move on. So that's what surprised me that I got this crazy letter, and I didn't mind sharing it with the audience, because that's a real life experience for me. And then the internet solicitation, I still can. Why would you pay $28,000 in legal fees to try and handle your what is remaining of your
Ridiculous.
and know that your credit score is going to get reduced?
Dan, that same example, you could let your bill fall behind for 4 months. And if you have the money to negotiate it, you could negotiate it for 40 cents on the dollar.
But
No fees to an attorney, no nothing.
what happens to your credit score?
It crashes just like it would if you paid 28,000. But
Wow.
the point is why would you pay somebody for something that you could do on your own? And that's why our debt management program, everybody asks, well, why can you do this and we can't? The reason is because when people get to a point where they're high risk, the creditors won't reduce interest rates for them on their own. We tell people to call them, call your creditors, try to get the interest rate reduced, and they won't do it. So we get these reductions of interest because the banks are happy that we're counseling people and getting them to pay that bill just at a lower interest. So it's a completely different approach where people on their own can do debt settlement if they just let their bills go behind, deal with some phone calls, collect some money, and once they have enough money, call the creditor. The creditor will be begging for the money to close the account.
I also saw this week that the default rates are rising.
Oh yeah, I had a bunch of headlines, that being one of them. So
what's happening? I assume then our average FICO score is falling.
It should be, depending. Again, it's you're careful with these articles and headlines too, because I can, you know, that's a whole nother thing. We could try to look at the statistics right now of the consumer debt position. Let me make a note here. I got some homework to do.
You know, maybe what we should think about, maybe not next week, but the week after, how to fix your FICO score.
Oh, yeah. Yep, absolutely, because our Mortgage Ready program is exactly that. It's not a quick fix. It's a gradual increase, and you have to be we talk all the time about how we coach people, and then they do something and they make a mistake, and their FICO score is lower the following month. You know, they just don't understand it. So I'd love to do that.
Okay, so 2 weeks.
So FICO score in two episodes.
Right.
Next week we're going to do elderly living and family communication dynamic.
Yep.
And I'm going to follow this zombie debt up too.
You remember the story I told you about when I talked to the people about the reverse mortgage, I had too much equity?
Yep.
They couldn't give me the loan.
Yep. Okay.
All right.
That'll be more than a mouthful, I promise.
Okay.
All right.
Good. Thank you.
So we're done, I know, but Dad is we're meeting with the surgeon tomorrow. There were some biopsies and things done, so we're meeting tomorrow to find out more information of where he's at. So
do you suspect cancer?
It's been brought up. It just hasn't been confirmed.
Okay.
So we're hoping not.
Okay. Well, I'll put him in. What's his first father's first name?
Gordon.
Gordon. Gordon and Gordon. All right.
Is Gordon Trent Oliver? I'm actually Scott Gordon Oliver, but everybody calls me by my middle name forever. So.
All right. So I'll put Gordon Sr. on my prayer list for church.
I appreciate you, Dan, man.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Have
it's
a good
been
week.
Really great working with you. Really great knowing you. You're a great man. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Thanks for listening to the show today. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you'd like to send a comment, please do so by sending it to dan@danperkinsmedia.org. That's dan@danperkinsmedia.org. And thanks for listening.